We gonna call this just a vibe check, right? Ain't no massive major breakdown. The breakdown pod will probably be next week. So we just call this a vibe check, right? What's our vibe check after night one of WrestleMania? Maybe that's we'll go with that. This is That's Freaking Wrestling. Y'all know the deal. TFW Podcast. And we are broadcasting live from Las Vegas. Eshan is in the hometown of Atlanta, GA. And we just wanted to talk about night one. So not an instant reaction pod, because that instant would have been last night. But it's the morning. For us, it's like 8:30 a.m. I have not had a chance to really watch anything. So all my thoughts are kind of going to be from a live perspective. I think the same thing with Rhodesia. He watches on television, so we'll be able to get a little bit of course, everything across the board. But happy Easter to anyone who celebrates Easter. Happy 420 for anybody who celebrates 420. And, of course, if you listen to this podcast, I'm going to assume you celebrate WrestleMania. So happy WrestleMania weekend as well. I guess we should introduce the pod, right? I am Matt, your favorite talker out here in these wrestling streets, joined by Rhodesia. Joined by Eshan. So, this pod would have sounded a little different from me if we would have recorded this podcast about 2 hours into WrestleMania, night one. Completely going to sound different that we waited to after the entire show, because the show is the show. But where do y'all want to start? Do you want to start with... Are we going to start with the main event? Do we want to start with just live reactions? Do we want to start with just TV reactions? Where do you guys want to start? Because, like I said, this is going to be kind of like a quicker reaction pod. We'll deep dive it in a few days. So I definitely want to hit, of course, the opener. I definitely want to hit the main event. And that's kind of really all I kind of really want to, like, talk about. I mean, the co-main was really good, too. But where you guys want to start?
It's up to you. I mean, we could talk about how we want to grade it. Is that going to be something we're going to say for next time? Or we could just talk with the new champion or our main event.
All right. Hey, let's just, I got a couple things real quick.
Yes.
It's a big daddy day. I got a lot of things going on today, and I want to hear some awesome reaction from you guys. So I actually am interested in the main event. You know, we talked about, like, for me as a fan going into it, I'm like, yo, like, it's Paul Heyman on a stick match. Like, right, I'm not really that intrigued on who takes Paul Heyman home. We found out that was Seth Rollins. Tell me about the reaction that you guys had to the finish, and how did it come across at the stadium? Because, you know, Brandon and myself, we watched it together.
Okay.
Kids were there. Kids were there.
Shout out to the kids that didn't watch. Easy. Didn't watch a lick.
I would maybe say they watched 30 minutes of the show. But it seems like the finish was kind of flat on our end from you guys.
Really?
I don't know. People were shocked. I didn't hear a lot of cheering. Tell me about the atmosphere there. Was it chaos? You said really, like, was it the crowd pop?
Oh my God.
Significant. Okay. Let's kind of start with the crowd reaction then. And then before I do want to hear your thoughts, cause you were pretty adamant on Thursday's preview pod that, all right, Paul Heyman leaves hand-to-hand with somebody, whoop-de-damn-do. That's the main event WrestleMania. You may have already kind of just gave me your answer a little bit. You said it kind of felt a little flat. But in the building, it was a massive reaction. A massive positive reaction. Would you say, Rhodesia?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and not even just from a pop perspective. It was the shock when Heyman hit the low blow on Punk, and then it was the cheers, and then it was in real time, you could hear people realizing, oh, he's about to do the same thing to Roman. And when Roman pushed kind of Heyman to the side, which then made Heyman get to behind him, which I thought was genius and great, you could start hearing people like, oh, he's about to do the same thing to Roman. And when he hit the low blow on Roman, the crowd erupted. And then it was sustained eruption until the end of the show, for the most part. I did see some stuff online about the crowd reactions in less than. And really, it was like around probably like match 2 or 3. So we started out with Jay and Gunther And I'll kind of get into that part after we talk about this. But then I got on around Jade and Naomi just to kind of see what the temperature was like on television. And I started seeing a ton of like, this crowd sucks. Like, this is not a great crowd. And then Bushman, shout out to Bushman. He sent me a text and he was just like, the crowd sounds a little flat on television. And what I said, and there's a reason partly for it with how the show was structured. But then the other part, people spending $10,000 a ticket. And no, that doesn't stop them from enjoying the show, because I think everybody in the arena enjoyed the show thoroughly. You just get a different like clientele when you're talking about spending that much money for a ticket. You're not going to get a ton of the chance. Now, tonight, I think is going to be off the hook when it comes to Cody and Cena. Like, that's the match people are waiting for. We saw a little bit with the triple threat also. We definitely saw it with Jay. But you're not just going to get the sustained chance throughout every single match, every single second. We had pretty incredible seats. So we were six rows off the floor. And yeah, like, we are on the hard cam side. So we are seeing Vanessa Hutchins walk back and forth. We are seeing the Prince of Saudi Arabia with like 8-9 security people around him walking around. But like, there's a lady that was sitting right in front of us. You would have thought she was going to like the ritziest of the ritziest club. Like, it's a different clientele when you're talking about kind of like the money that these tickets cost now for WrestleMania in Las Vegas. And I'm not saying that to say like, you know, oh, well, it is what it is. But I do think it's a little bit different of an expectation for how interactive the crowd is going to be when you're in that environment with those ticket prices, because there was a lot of chance that started in the upper deck and it just never hit like main floor. I'm sure it didn't get onto the camera. And, you know, not making it a cost thing, but that's where your, if you want to say the quote unquote diehards, the quote unquote real fans, which I hate that, because you ain't getting more real fans than like the three of us. But I think that played a part in terms of like crowd reactions. Now for the main event, that reaction, incredible reaction. And I think it was more of an incredible reaction to, I would like midway through that match, I was like, I don't remember the last time we had a triple threat match with three baby faces where no one was leaning like heel going into the match. So this is just straight up, you splitting the crowd potentially by a third. Or this is just one of those, we just here to have a good time. You know, we're going to chant CM Punk, we're going to chant OTC, we're going to sing Seth Rollins' song, and kind of whatever happens, happens. And that was kind of like the feel a little bit throughout the match. Like, whoever was on offense was who got the cheers at the time. I don't know if there was any boos that I can remember throughout that entire, like, and they went almost an hour in terms of entrances to the match, to the finish, to, you know, I don't know when exactly they went off air. But, Rhodesia, did you hear any boos, like, throughout that match?
And it's interesting because you had mentioned, as far as this is the first time we had three baby faces in a triple way match like this, where everybody was just like, who are we going to boo? Everybody was cheered. And I've never seen anything like this before. And it goes back to like, should they have main event it? And you know, we'll answer that question fully maybe today or on our full breakdown. But absolutely. I mean, you saw these are three of your hottest, toppest people in the industry right now. And every single one of them, from their entrance all the way to when they first got in the ring and as the music is playing, is getting the everybody cheering. So where I'm thinking, when you have baby faces going against each other, that they're going to be split, maybe not even react because you don't know who you're going to cheer for. So you kind of just have your sit on your hands. Everybody got super, super loud cheers to the point where I could kind of feel and see some of the people around us is like, okay, so then like, who's the bad person here when everybody first came out? Cause it was such a loud ovation for everybody. But no, I didn't hear any boos whatsoever throughout the whole match at all. It just seemed like it got louder and louder and louder and more excited throughout the whole time.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that. But it might have been what you said. It might have been all you rich folks out there not wanting to get too carried away, you know, which is maybe you sprinkle some poor folk You know, maybe sit, you know, not like next to you rich people over there sitting six rows away playing, talk about how much money y'all got. Like, you know, maybe they put like somebody poor next to y'all, like me, you know, who wants to show excitement. Maybe it'll show better on camera. So that way, you know, like at the end of a finish, you know, it's just like, cause you hear like this shock at the end of the show. I was talking to Brandon about it. I'm like, man, I'm like, to me, there wasn't a lot of energy at the end of the finish, which I honestly kind of thought, to be honest with you. I didn't think that whoever Paul Heyman went home with and there was nothing really at stake, great, right? Like, but I am firmly behind Seth Rollins winning, but it just didn't come across as like a big deal. And it, you know what it kind of reminded me of? It kind of reminded me of not the Jey Uso finish for SummerSlam. It wasn't like that.
Ooh.
It wasn't like that. Oh, it seemed bro, like on,
that was sad. Right, that was sad.
A couple years ago,
it wasn't like that. Yeah, the one in Detroit. It wasn't like that. Man. Like it just seemed
people
like
people were leaving when he was still out there.
Well, no, I remember like Jey was in sit. Like, so this is what I brought it up is because I remember like when Jey was sitting in the middle of the ring, and it still was a lot of us still in the arena, and like typically that's when you get that chant like
music plays, and then we
you know something like you start clapping for Jey, like we gotta give him that you know that good attempt. Like clap or something like that, right? Give him like a standing ovation or something. Everybody's kind of just looked at him and got up, so slowly started walking on out, right? Like, and it wasn't that bad at the end of that show, but you still had Roman Reigns in the middle of the ring. You still had, you know, Punk there. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't see like that big crowd reaction, or even like a big crowd reaction. Everybody was like clapping and is ecstatic that Seth won. It was kind of like, oh shit. He's with Seth now, which I'm all for, but it didn't seem like it was. It's like it didn't come across as a big moment at the end of WrestleMania. See,
and in the building, man, it came across like it was a massive moment. So I don't know if maybe part of it was maybe how the crowd was also mic'd up too. Because the other thing that I noticed and saw, so when I went on and just like I said, checked the temperature real quick on Twitter, it was people who were watching on TV was like, crowd is no energy. This is why. You know, they shouldn't outprice real fans. And anybody who was in the building was like, I don't know, like, how it's coming across on TV, but the crowd is here. Now, the other part of that, too, is part of that is the booking, right? I don't know what you expect from the crowd with New Day and Roar Raiders when the match was just made less than 2 weeks ago. I also don't know what you expect when 60,000 people came to Yeet. And they got that in the first 40 minutes of the show, of course it's going to take some time for them to bounce back and absolutely get it back. Because that is what we came for. We came to Yeet, and we came to see Roman, Punk, and Seth. That was what it was. But I do think, E, the reaction, they definitely got the desired reaction in the building. Because the reaction shouldn't have been cheers. And when I'm talking about from a storyline perspective now, Seth Rollins just turned heel. We don't look at it like that. You said it yourself. Like, hey, I'm excited that it was Seth. That was the only move. We talked about it on the preview pod. Like, Roman, them days is over in regards to he's going to get to his story that is a year late. We'll talk about that too today. It's not Punk's, like, his win was main eventing WrestleMania. No need for him to win. It was Seth's. And now we also see this is what Seth was talking about in terms of the face of the industry or whatever he kept going with. It was right there with Heyman. But the reaction they got was the big, yo, what? And then what is going to happen? So Dwayne, cousin Dwayne, shout out to Dwayne. He's with us this week. And after the show, he was talking to Lil Matt, and he's just like, it's funny because I can see Dwayne like real time just kind of thinking. And yeah. He didn't say much after the main event. I didn't say much after the main event because I was in awe of what they accomplished in that main event. I don't know what I expected as a match. I know we just kept talking about, give me the shenanigans. I want the shenanigans. I never really kind of gave it thought to, you got Punk, Seth, Roman. They know they're the main event. They're going to go all in and go all out. That was just, you know, 16 hours removed from the match. Not watching a second of it on Twitter or not watching the match back, that was one of the best triple threat matches I've ever seen.
Agreed.
And I was there live for it, which there wasn't much before that, to be completely honest, from a wrestling perspective, that I thought was great. There wasn't. It was a very pedestrian, finishes make sense, entrances look incredible, production, of course, is top notch. We got a chance to see some great things. But I'm like, okay, they are going to have to deliver in this main event for me to feel like night one was worthy of a WrestleMania and we are where we need to get to for night two. And they blew it out the water. Completely blew it out the water for me. I don't know how the match itself came across on television, but even starting with CM Punk coming out to the Fire Burns, this video package, like, you know, old school CM Punk fans know what that means. And then you double that up with Living Color, you know, singing him to the ring. I was like, that's all right. Like, all right. He topped it. Like, he got it. You know, that was his moment. He did it. To Roman's entrance with, you know, his family lineage on the screens behind him as he's walking by himself. That's the first time we've seen Roman make a WrestleMania entrance by himself in who knows how long.
Exactly.
And then Seth, you know, Seth with his wardrobe change. I mean, it was just the pop and circumstance was there. But when it came down to the match, I mean, it was probably that was one of the only matches that got a this is awesome chant from the crowd. I think we got it in Jay Gunther probably. Maybe Charlotte and Tiffany.
I can't remember.
Definitely Jacob and LA Knight. They woke the crowd back up. Jacob was him. Shout out to Jacob. I'm so happy for that guy to win that the US title. But yeah, the main event, man, I thought absolutely delivered. Masterful performances from all of them. I was happy. So I asked for the shenanigans, but I was also happy we didn't get shenanigans until the end. Right? Like, let those three guys work. And I know people have been on Big Rome's head for a while in terms of ever since he became the tribal chief. He's not working maybe potentially, quote unquote, as hard as he has the ability to in the matches. He worked like he was in a contract year last night. He did. You know, Seth, of course, is the one that is going to do majority of the heavy lifting at this stage of where everybody's at in their career or their characters and things of that nature. But, man, Roman brought it. Roman brought it better than I've seen maybe since. Take out Cody Rhodes. Listen, I think they just have like magical chemistry with those two. But easily the best Roman match, easily in 2+ years.
Oh yeah, because you know how I feel about Roman matches to begin with. You know, it's a very slow, methodical storytelling, I guess, or taking you through the emotions and the roller coaster of a match. But even at the end of the match, one of the only few things that I even talked about the show was with Little Matt. He was like, this is your cup of tea of wrestling, ain't it? And I'm like, well, yeah, because it was exciting. But actually, my more cup of tea was with Ray and El Grande. But for me, I'm like, yeah, this is what I want. I don't like those super slow Roman matches. I don't want that in a match. And I got everything. I hate triple A's. And what we got last night absolutely made up for the whole night one. And you mentioned that there were parts to this show that was good. But if I go and look through all my notes, a lot of my notes says good match, but not a WrestleMania match. And again, what does it have to take to become a WrestleMania match? I don't know. But we saw it in Jay and Gunther, and we saw it in the Triple A match. So whatever that is, they need to find it. They need to learn it. They need to develop it. And like I said, there was good parts. And I probably would have rated night one as a C. But because I was there, I felt the energy. Like I said, that main event was something spectacular. If they are live, I'm going to give it a B for night one.
I'll let y'all take those grades and those matches, man. But I will say that at the end of the show, I'm like, damn. So I didn't take the Seth Heyman thing as a heel turn only because I like Seth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I like Heyman. They didn't do anything that was dastardly because they've been going at each other doing bad things to each other, all three of them, for the entire feud, right? So it's not like they were all, it's not like one was a better man in the situation. All of them have been doing sneak disses and been, you know, Seth has been out of nowhere, curb stomping, you know, Roman for months. Right. So he didn't do anything out of the, you know what I'm saying? And if anything with Heyman, right? Like, you know, you got Roman was mushing him in the mouth for the past couple weeks, like, right? So it all makes sense from a perspective. Now, it does seem like that his character will probably be a little more devious, and right? And it'd be interesting once he gets away from Roman and Punk, how does he interact with, you know, Cody and the rest of the faces on it, you know, that's when you probably start seeing more heel elements. But for me, I was talking to Brandon. I'm like, man, look, all right, so we got, if this is supposed to be Seth turning bad guy and he's walking away with the evil Heyman, right? On night two, we're going to get the same thing. We're going to get the heels, John Cena winning. We're going to get a heel Rock out there. We're going to get, you know, heel Travis Scott. So we're going to get two, like, evil finishes two nights in a row. Like, I don't know about that. But as far as the overall card, because I know we're getting kind of towards our little time limit, though. I'm going to give the show overall, I'm going to give it a C+. This wasn't, I know you guys are going to have a different perspective because you're there. And I'm saying, hey, look, let me tell you, if I'm going to spend it, what y'all spend on seats too, I'm going to say it's a fucking A+, even if it ain't. You ain't going to tell me A+. After I spend that, it's going to be an A+. Well, it don't mean, you can't tell me, you ain't going to be able to tell me shit. You ain't going to tell me nothing. No, you no.
Delusion, right?
Add another plus to it, goddammit. So I get delusion. But just as you're watching it,
plus.
Like, do you go from the show top to bottom? Mm-hmm. And I get the main event, the match quality was awesome. I'm not denying that. I just think that Jay ending would have been a more satisfying ending, especially if we get in a bad end tonight. Now, I'm not necessarily so we get in a bad ending tonight. I think I'm still holding high that we're going to get a nice little Cody win, and they continue that storyline. But I still would have rather seen, you know, Jay at the end. The matches were for the most part, but one match I did really enjoy, you guys talked about it, was that LA Knight.
They did.
Jacob Fatu. Like they did, that, man. Like that when LA Knight reversed that moonsault into his finish.
They did it.
I was like, man. And I liked the spot, too, because it wasn't one of them where Jacob just kicked out of it. You know, he grabbed onto the rope.
Yep.
Like, right? So I like that finish versus him just kicking out of something like that, because, like, that was an amazing, you know, sequence into his finish. I love that Jacob didn't kick out of it. Really good match. I like Jacob.
How cool was it to see Haku there, too? Like, I thought
that was awesome.
That's like, my tremendous, guy. I love me some Haku.
Yeah. Tremendous. And they know they got one in Jacob because you allow that. And Jacob's supposed to be a heel. Shout out to Solo, though. Solo could absolutely, and some people would say it would be warranted if he has and had a significant problem and issue with his positioning.
Sure.
And from everything we've seen, we know Samoans there. We know they're definitely about family, right? Yep. But I don't know, outside of maybe a little bit of politicking like you should when you're at that top spot. We haven't really heard of them sulking or anything like that when it comes to it. But Jacob, in essence, has taken Solo's spot. And for Solo to just walk out with Jacob and have that energy, hype him up, and leave him, that's all we saw from Solo all night at WrestleMania. To me, that's so commendable, because it's been 2 years now that he's been on the main roster, and you could probably say, hey, WWE may have had Solo kind of penciled in where Jacob is now. Mm-hmm. Jacob's just undeniable. And for them to be able to give him his first title win, and then Solo would be a part of it and not have the boo-boo phase, I thought that was awesome. A couple of things I got to get back to that you said. Number one, you said you felt like it was C+. What was that show before the main event for you? What would you have graded it?
What would I grade without seeing it? Going into the, my
before the main event. No, before the main event. Before the main event happened, what would your grade have been?
A C.
Oh, so then it went up a half for the main event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I told you, man. Look, I don't forgive like y'all do. Like, you're not gonna hurt me for a long period of time and then give me a treat at the end, and I'm gonna give you a no. If you've been pinching my ass for hours. I'm not going to give you a pass at the end just because you gave me a treat towards the end. Like, but the show, like, again, it was passing. I wouldn't say that the show was bad. You know, I know a lot of times people, you know, hey, if you don't give it a B or an A, I mean, you give it a C. No, it was fine. I mean, I like wrestling. You know, it was some nice things that happened on the card. It had some nice spots. I just feel from a WrestleMania perspective, this up until, like, if you take the Jay match out, and that was at the very beginning, that's where I actually came from. If you take Jay out and everything else up until the main event, I mean, this could have been like, you know, in your house 45. Yeah.
See, but to be fair, though, you can't. Like, night one was built around Jay and Gunther and the triple threat. So we're saying, like, hey, take out everything that people are invested in. Who would you give it? Now, I will agree. I do think, I'm not going to say there was some sandbagging, but I do agree. I think watching that show, it felt like we're going to do enough to get by. That was what the meat of the show felt like to me. Now, if you look at just on paper, Jey Uso, new champ. I'm taking, this is not including the opener and the main event. So I'm talking about, you know, matches 2 through 6 or 2 through 5, whatever that looks like. Jey Uso, new champ. New Day, new champ. Jacob Fatu, new champ. Tiffany retains, but in a physical, legit fight from Charlotte to, you know, see what she's got in the ring type situation. And then in the main event. So if you look at it on paper, you say, okay, that's pretty strong. But it goes back to the build. Right, like if we would have, outside of going to the show, outside of, we know it's WrestleMania, so the excitement level is going to be there anyway. If this was built the way we all kind of wanted it, you know, for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, it probably feels a little bit differently. But as I said, I thought New Day and War Raiders was pretty good. Nobody cares though, right? Outside of because you love New Day, outside of because that cemented them as one of the GOAT tag teams because of the title reigns. Take all that out. You literally just, from the New Day are heels, they healed our guy Big E, they've been on a heel run, we need them to get their comeuppance. That story wasn't there. And even on our preview pod, I talked about it, I said, I think that night two has a chance to be better than night one from an in-ring perspective. I think we get that. So my point is, I think, and take it how you want, some people would say, no, man, that's bull. Every match needs to be a 5-star classic for WrestleMania. Watching it, I do feel like it was, okay, we're going to give them just enough where nobody's going to be unhappy with these matches, but we got a main event to get to that's going to set the stage. That is what everybody's going to remember. They're going to remember the eating, and they're going to remember the main event with Seth going with Heyman. So with them really having the Triple Threat Women's match opening the card tonight, of course, main event with Cena and Cody, I do wonder if we get a little bit of that again, but I do think we get more in-ring and surprises than we did tonight. Now, I have a personal issue with that just because these tickets aren't buy one, get one free, right? Like, if you're watching on Peacock, it is what it is. Like, yeah, $10 a month, I get to tune in and consume as much content as I want. But from a dollar perspective, it's like, well, I still got to pay. You know, I still got to pay for all these shows. So you say you still would have been a C+. Rhodesia, what would you have given it
before the main event? Before the main event, quite honestly, it was not WrestleMania caliber to me. And so I do hold WrestleMania to a higher standard because we go into it saying, hey, this person should have had a match. This person should have had a match. And they didn't. Well, we have to protect the card because the card needs to be only so many, all that other stuff. So when I get those matches and it's not to the level that I wanted it to be, because if that's the case, then you could have had Andre the Giant over the top battle royal match on here. You could have got Chelsea up on here or something like that. You could have got Montez up on here, which he deserves it, but we don't. So for me, I would have said probably for WrestleMania, that mug was like a C-. The entrances, the celebrations, fantastic. Super WrestleMania level. Love them. But actually from bell to bell, saw a couple good things. And I even put on my notes, you had mentioned it as far as giving just enough. I wrote here kind of going through the motions. And that's probably a bit unfair to say that, but that's just how I truly felt as far as watching last night. So before that, C minus, because I'm not going to give it a D. Like he said, we pay too much money for this season to call anything failure.
No, that's A+.
So, but I would give it like a C minus being there. And again, that triple A match was so incredible last night from the beginning to the end. I'm going to give it a B.
After. Hey, you know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Matt. You about to?
No, I was going to say before the main event, I would have given it a C. After the main event, for me, it's a B+.
Nice.
And I'm good. Like, I'm good now. I wasn't good going into the main event. And the majority of that is where, and you had to do it because I was the biggest proponent of this. You guys know it. The reason why was that for me is because Jay went on first. Imagine a card, because if you look at the matches, now granted, the majority of matches were under 10 minutes. I don't think it's a time perspective, but Riddies, if you said like it's kind of just there, well, it's really hard in 10 minutes to tell an incredible story in a ring.
That's fair.
It's damn near impossible. That's fair. Right? But imagine if the card would have been, I'm just throwing this out, I'm just looking at the card, I'm going to go really quick. Imagine if the opener was Rey Fenix and Grande. Okay?
Wait a minute, Matt. I was just about to say that real quick. Right before you steal my thunder, let me give it to you real quick, and then we can go back and forth real quick. Okay. I was just about to say that. So this is like, I'm going top to bottom.
Okay.
I'm going Jay and Gunther in the show. Because we didn't even get the Yeet Fest that I expected. You know what I'm saying? Maybe got I didn't think we really went. I expected him to go throughout the crowd or something.
He didn't.
I expect to see I know we got Jimmy, and I was tear jerking. I was sitting there next to Brandon. I'm like, yo, man, something got in my eye, man. Damn, allergies. You know what I'm saying? When Jimmy came out there at the end, that was cool.
Now you see what I was talking about. Remember when I was saying a couple weeks ago, like, what do you do? Remember, I kind of gave you guys both that scenario. I said, if I'm Jay, my brother's got to be, he's got to be here. Like, so do we do it where somehow he's involved in the finish? And I even said it. Or do you have it at the end where he hands Jay the belt?
Yes.
And I don't know how that moment came across on television. It didn't feel rushed live, but it was also, it felt more of like if it wasn't on camera. Right, like if it was just legit raw, this is real life, I'm in here, the cameras are off, brother, you did it. That's kind of like what it felt like. It wasn't like a long, you know how they could have played it up a little bit, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I thought that was tremendous. But to your point, man, like, that's what this game is about. Like, you know, and I even tweeted about it, like, dude, Jay's been in the game for decades. And to be able to win that championship, and guys, I've known it before. The internet is such not a real place. There wasn't a boo in the building for Jey Uso at any of the shows we've gone to, and Jay's got it. And we went to the WrestleMania, like, you know, they could do the kickoff parties or the shows like before on Fridays, and they came out to confront Gunther. And he's got it, man. He's a completely different guy than he was when we just saw him, to your point, at SummerSlam, because I haven't even had to ask Riddies, like, when's the last time we've seen Jay live? And I knew it wasn't in the last year. And Riddies was like, I think SummerSlam, you know, 2 years ago. His aura, his presence, he is a legit top guy. And it was funny that Wale Mania Cass had asked him, and shout out to everybody with Wale Mania, we'll talk about that next week. But Cass asked him, like, look, man, online haters, you know they're gonna be watching it, what you got for them? And he was like, you know, people are always going to be talking shit. Like, you can't stop that. He's like, but just come to a show. He's like, feel the energy. And when he said that Thursday night, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. But then I got it. When I saw him Friday, I was like, he's undeniable. And maybe it doesn't come across the TV outside of people just putting their arms up.
No, it did. It did. Look, I was something like Brandon, I was sitting there, we're watching the match and during his entrance. I'm like, man, you hear all these people online. This is what I talk about, like, It's a vocal minority, because when you look at that huge ass stadium, like, everybody's on their feet. Like, majority of the crowd from what we can see was yeeting. I'm like, and this is almost everywhere he goes. I'm like, so if he can't wrestle and he got a limited move set and all those other things people say about him, those were true, he wouldn't get the reaction that he gets. And it was obvious, like, from the beginning, that he was over like Rover. But for me, that should have been the number one. That's, I mean, that should have been the main event.
So you would, even now seeing with everything you've seen, right? So say we don't change any of the finishes. Okay, you still would have ended with, okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So then after that, I'm going the women's tag match. And we can get to that in a little bit if you guys want. I'm going women's tag match.
You mean
the women's championship match. Tiffany versus Charlotte. I'm going with that.
Okay.
That after that match, that's what I'm going with the three-way. I'm going three-way right there. As you see, I'm using the women's match as my come-down match. Okay, the match is going to be what it's going to be.
Okay.
And then I'm going, and actually, my opener would have been Fatu versus LA Knight, particularly because of that one spot alone. I think that would have set the tone for the rest of the match, because that was close to the finish either. I mean, as well. And then right after that, I'm going Ray Phoenix versus Chad Gable. I can't say what's my man. El Grande Americano.
El Grande Americano.
Right? Hey, and then man, I'm going with the tag team championship match.
You know that's racist, right? Are we all in agreement?
Like, what? It's not racist.
He's got one more entrance before this thing is full-blown racism? Or no?
How is racism?
Oh, I thought the entrance was amazing.
It was. No, like... All right, keep going.
Yeah, there's nothing
wrong with
it.
And then I got Jade and Naomi. And that's the car. I think I hit all the matches right there. That's it, right? That's where I'm going out with. I want to end the match with Jay yeeting with the crowd. Big Keish coming out there doing the dance with Jimmy, you know what I'm saying, the ring. You know what I'm saying? The family, the little Fatus coming out there, making a big family thing. Kind of like how Cody got last year. End the show on that, on a great note. And you already had your shock and awe in the three-way match. People were shocked and they enjoyed seeing Paul Heyman and Seth. They don't watch the podcast. We told them that was going to happen. If that was surprising for them, but they still got that. And then they can calm down and they can relax and they can enjoy the Tiffany and Charlotte fiasco.
We know that they book this based off of the placement on the card that we saw, but from being there, being live, as far as your bookends, I think they did it perfect. I have no problem with Jay starting it off. He turned that place upside down when he first came out. Don't know how it came across on TV, but there live, it was absolutely amazing. And I could not, that triple way match, if it would have been anywhere else on that card, it wouldn't have been as powerful as what it was and what we got out of that. So for me, I'm completely fine with Jay again, right now, after watching it, Jay being the opener. Because again, at the end of the day, he still won with a chokeout, which I'm not complaining about that. I think that was hard as hell that he choked him out, because I knew that was coming too. Just watching how the flow of the match, I'm like, oh, he about to choke him out. Because I think he did two or three frog splashes on him.
Three.
And I'm like, three of them. And then I'm like, okay, oh, he about to choke out Gunther. But for me, I love that being placed where it was watching it. Maybe we could have argued it before the WrestleMania night one, but now being there and watching it and it being over, I'm completely okay with it.
Yeah, I was, we were walking out the building. I had told Matt, I was like, the main event for me had to deliver to save night one. And he's like, you know, for me, it wasn't like that. I was like, it was because Jay won 4 hours ago. And he actually said, man, I forgot Jay won the championship. And that's why you had to put him there. Because you just can't, like, you had to put him there. But I do think the letter grade, and this, we talk a lot about this about AEW pay-per-views, just the format. The letter grade, I would argue for anybody, it probably goes up at least a half of letter grade if these matches were flipped just a little differently. Because the moment is Jay winning the championship and Seth, Roman, and Punk. Those are your two moments. I don't know if this is one of those moments where you back-to-back it, and you have, you know, Jay Wynn in the co-main, and then you have Punk, Rollins, and Seth slow walk the dog for the first 10 minutes of that match to get the crowd to come down, and then you bring them back up, because they started pretty hot, and they ran with it. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I am happy with night one, for sure. You said something else, and I couldn't. Oh, I'm not here to nitpick. And I hate this is going to be the only nitpick. I'm not even going to do it. Never mind. I'll wait. I had a nitpick for, I didn't realize from a getting worked perspective how much I really wanted Naomi to win until she lost.
Yeah.
From a we're watching this to get worked. And I'll just stop right there because I don't want to be negative just to be negative. But shout out to Naomi. I was very happy with her performance.
Yeah, but I would say this. I would say that I was very disappointed that Naomi lost. Now, unless there's going to be a lot more after this. And again, I'll give Paul the leash to be able to grab me on that roller coaster. But I kind of feel disappointed in that all of this new Proceed with Caution Naomi kind of went to waste as far as to protect Jade. That's how I feel deep down inside. Like, to me, could Jade have taken a loss? Probably she should not have. But if they would have just worked that match completely different, Naomi has this theme. I think you even came on here the last two episodes saying Naomi has to win. Like, give it to mm-hmm. her. She busted her ass. Like, she broke out of this mold where nobody would have had on their bingo card that Naomi was going to be such a big highlight come WrestleMania this year. Not saying she didn't have it, but no one really thought that until she got that opportunity and she blew it out of the park. To me, it was absolutely a letdown. And to me, it makes me feel like, okay, so where people were talking about how John Cena was getting the push, is this happening again with Jay Cargill? And that's how I feel in the moment. I still feel that this morning too, a little bit. But again, to your point, maybe it's because I was just so behind Naomi and wanting her to win so badly.
So yeah, so this is one of those, from a personal perspective, it was the wrong call. Mm-hmm. From a business storyline wrestling perspective, it was the right call. And it's all about where do we go from here. So we wanted Naomi to win because we love Naomi. We are so proud of Naomi. Her new character is incredible. She is smoking this more than arguably any other woman character right now, you know, outside of maybe Bianca from a character perspective, right? But if she would have beaten Jade, now that the finish is over, we saw the little piece of business they did on Friday night. Naomi's like, look, I'm about to tell you business. And Bianca's like, okay, no, we good, good. We're not doing it here. Meat on a bone for that. I got a feeling maybe we get some type of tag match or something in Backlash with some of, you know, those four women. But if Naomi would have beat Jade, then now what for Jade outside of just a rematch? Where the story's at, it doesn't matter if Naomi is winning or losing because her beef is still with Bianca. For whatever she was going to say to Bianca on Friday Night SmackDown that Bianca stopped her from saying, her winning doesn't advance that storyline. Because we still got an issue we need to figure out. And then you let Jay tell it from the way it looks to me. She's not done with Naomi yet. Like, that didn't come across to me as, like, the decisive, we're going our separate ways now. That was just, I put the pause on you, and now we'll see what happens.
I agree, because you know, heels aren't defined by their wins and losses, really, anyway. It's about the things that they're doing. She's going to get her heat back, right? She can, you know, bum rush Jay backstage, you know, advance. Like, it's not about it. It's about what they have for her for the next story. As Matt said, you know, Bianca's, there's still something going with them. Like, and this centered around Jay. So I don't think this is the last match you're going to see with them. I was perfectly fine with Jay because, you know, this would have been two losses for her back to back.
Yeah.
Like, right? And you got to kind of, You gotta keep her strong in some type of way because her character is built on wins and losses. Is she a tough girl or not? Like, Naomi is about to be a conniving heel. Like, right? She can get her heel back on the mic and that's what she's doing. So she'll be just fine at the end of this one. But what'd you guys think of Tiffany and Charlotte real quick?
So that's what I was gonna ask you. Where did you wanna go first?
I just feel like my feelings with Naomi, let's do like a ditto when it comes to the queen. I think the queen got completely ran over in this whole feud. She was labeled as the unprofessional one. And in the match itself, to me too, I just felt like the match itself wasn't it for me. And that's me being critical because I already have my winner and my loser already in my mind going into it. I already accept the biases there. But I just feel like, on paper, how Matt, you just said Jay needed to win this last match. On paper, absolutely, I believe Tiff probably should have retained. There's probably no doubt about that.
No question about it.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But deep down inside, I really did want Charlotte to win. And it's to me, I feel like Charlotte is the queen. She worked like Naomi. She went in, I think maybe it was at Wally Mania. I don't know if it was on TV, but she talking about all these people that y'all favorites and favorites. I was the one that trained them. I was the one that got them there. I was the one that was put in that work. I think it was at Wally Mania when she went hard. But same thing with Charlotte. Like, Charlotte has taken this whole feud between her and Tiffy, got labeled as the unprofessional one, and still took the loss. And to me, I was just like, ugh, I get it. On paper, Tiffy should have won. But the match, again, if I look at my notes, this was nowhere near Charlotte's best matches. Do I expect that? I have to kind of anchor myself back down and say, hold on, who is she wrestling? Tiffy is still really young in this game. She's still pretty green as far as compared to Charlotte. But the match itself, to me, it was great placement on the card. I'm fine that it was, you know, the co-main event, but it wasn't a WrestleMania quality match for me. However, how Tiffy looked in the end, I thought was perfect. She ended up getting her teeth fixed right away. But I told Matt last night, like, I actually wanted her not to get her teeth fixed right away. Like, go on air, like, show that you've been through the hardest fight that you've ever had against Charlotte, and you came out still the victor. I thought that would give her a little bit more of an edge. But again, that match to me was not WrestleMania quality. I've seen Charlotte before against Rhea, one of my favorite matches of Charlotte. Again, I think at that time, Rhea and Tiffy probably had around the same amount of ring time. But again, I don't want to compare people to people. Tiffy should have won. She looked fantastic. Entrance was amazing. But I just don't think that the match itself, the quality of the match, was a WrestleMania match for me.
We talk about entrances a lot for WrestleMania. If you guys don't know, which I'm sure anybody who's listening does, you can typically tell how you're valued in WWE. And this goes back to Vince. You know what I mean? Hell, he started it. But by your WrestleMania entrance, you can tell where they value you. Wins, losses, take that out. You can tell how they value you and where they value you, depending on if you get a special entrance at WrestleMania or not. I did take, this is the only note I took down all night. Big time entrances at WrestleMania. Jade Cargill, LA Knight, Chad Gable, Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair, Seth Rollins, CM Punk. That's a lot. And you look at the list, you say, that also makes sense. So we spent half of this pod may have been talking about the position of matches. How crazy of a spot is WWE in where we can even have that conversation? Where you have the hottest babyface in wrestling today, and he has to open the show because he can't close it because you have legends like CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Paul Heyman at the top of their game involved in a storyline. That is, that's why they're as big as they are right now, because it's not a one-trick pony like it had been for so many years when, you know, just Cena was on top. And that's not even including tonight when we get to see Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Io Sky, Cody Rhodes, John Cena. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's pretty awesome just where they are. But the match, this is one of those that if they would have won another 6-7 minutes, now we're talking. You're just okay, you're not going to get that a match of the year candidate at 9 minutes, bell to bell. You're just not, right? And that's why I said it just felt like some of this. So the match, I thought the match was cool it was a fight. I love that it was a fight. Tiffany looked like she was in a shoot fight by the time that match was over. And that matched the build up to this point. I wanted the match of the year candidate. That's what I wanted. I wanted Rhea Charlotte from 2 years ago. I wanted that. That was where I was looking at. That wasn't what they told. I wasn't disappointed with it. It was just different than what I thought. But yeah, if you would have gave those two ladies 6 more minutes, 7 more minutes, we having a completely different conversation. Probably more than any other match. Like, I felt like Jay and Gunther was the right amount of time, and we didn't even talk about the match per se. I really enjoyed that match. What did you guys think of Jay and Gunther? Did you like it?
I like the match, yeah.
Yeah, the match is fine.
So just fine. It wasn't, you didn't feel like it was WrestleMania caliber for Jay?
I felt like everything match-wise was fine into the main event.
Got it. Okay. But yeah, I think that is the match, Charlotte and Tiff, that could have used another 5-6 minutes. For sure.
No, I don't. Honestly, I think the match was as long as it needed to be. I don't think that, like, when I think of Tiffy right now at this stage of her career, I don't think of her as a mathematician or whatever.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what Stone Cold was he used to call himself. I don't think of her as that. I don't know if giving her 5 more minutes. And honestly, when you look at the 10 minutes that they had, like, it was some spots in there that's like, it seemed like they just didn't necessarily have the chemistry. So I don't know if putting them in there, giving them more minutes, was going to help them find the chemistry that they seemed like they didn't have throughout the entire view. Like, right? So honestly, for me, it was about what I expected it to be. I thought the match would be fine. I don't know if we saw anything shoot-wise. You know what I'm saying? Tiffy got a little blood on her. And like, hey, I don't mind her. Hey, look, she's all about – she's not a tough girl. She's a pretty girl. I see she want to get her mouth fixed. Like, she ain't trying to let that thing linger on long enough. She want them jibs taken care of. Nah, goddammit. But
so she called Audible? But
the match, again, like, I don't think there was a bad match on the card. I think all the matches were fine for what they were. Like I said, there were some nice spots in that Gunther and I think it was, I mean, but you think, I think in all the matches, there was like a spot or two that you can call out and say, oh, that was a good spot. And it made sense in the confines of that story. And it wasn't one of those things too. Sometimes we see on AEW to where like there's a big spot and they just immediately blow past it to go to the next one. I think like each spot in each match, they gave it enough time to kind of sink in and it wasn't overskipped. Now, what I did notice, I was talking to Brandon when we were watching the show, like a lot of times when these big moments, when these spots happen in these matches, they didn't always instantly replay them right afterwards. We didn't a lot of times get to see the replay until the match, like going back to Fatu and LA Knight, like that spot until the finish. We didn't get to see instant replay after that. Like he hit the move and it was like, boom. Right. And then he kind of rolled up and did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't actually get to see the actual replay of that until at the end. Maybe they wanted to get the right angle and the right shot. Because, like based on how they shot, it was perfect. You didn't necessarily see if, because like one of the things he can kind of mess up. Right. And it looked good based on like the angle. So maybe they want to find the right angle to kind of that way you don't see any light. But it was what I expected. I actually want to see Charlotte and Tiffy separate now. They've shown that they don't have great chemistry. I don't know if they even like each other that much, right? Because like if they legit shooting on each other, right? Right now at this point, I don't know if they necessarily like each other like that. So I'm like, you know what? Let's move on and do something else.
I love her entrance. I thought Tiffany's entrance was incredible. Mm-hmm. Before we get out of here, two quick things, and they're connected kind of because of the luchadors. Rey Fénix, happy for that guy. But imagine that. Rey gets hurt on SmackDown, can't go. Rey gets thrown into a WrestleMania singles match in less than 24-hour notice and performs the way he did. That is commendable, and that is professionalism probably at its highest.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, these guys have been doing this for years and years and years and years. But to have a singles match at WrestleMania and you didn't know you was going to have that 24 hours before, kudos to him. But WWE acquires and buys AAA, which, whoa, okay. My guy, Vikingo, gets the Triple H point outside the arena. He gets involved at WrestleMania.
Yes, he gets in the ring.
Worlds Collide, June. Raw Domination, right, from WWE?
Mm.
But that was crazy. All right, guys, so we got night two tonight. E will not be a part of tonight's pod. He said, I got to work in the morning. I ain't doing no pod at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, after seeing night one, just sum up overall thoughts for night one and then just now excitement level, or what do you expect for night two?
Full transparency, since we've been here, this time difference, and again, maybe it's age, maybe it's just us ripping and running prior to this weekend, it feels like Twilight Zone-ish to me. Like, I don't know what time of the day it is, so I'm super tired in certain spots, and I wake up in the middle of the night where I'm like wide awake, ready to go. So going to these shows, in my mind, I thought yesterday was a lot worse than probably what it is, but then from what I hear, no, everybody kind of said that this isn't an A+ show. So I think that the show was good. But I also wonder if it's my own tiredness that's making me feel that the show was worse than would it be. Am I being a little bit more critical than I need to be watching these matches from what we saw last night? Going in today, knowing that this is the end. And unfortunately, it's a human thing for us to think if you have night one, night two, ultimately night two is your better one, even if it's not. Just it's natural to think that way. This is the second half of it. If you think of any other video, any other game you play, yeah, you could kill it in the first half. But the second half, at the end of the game, that's the real winner. So I don't know if that part of me is like, okay, well, I know I have more to look forward to tomorrow as well. But what I will say is, knowing that today is the final night of WrestleMania, I hope to be able to go into it not feeling super fatigued. I hope to go in it to not be as critical, but be critical when needed. My excitement level for WrestleMania Night 2 is at a 10. And it's so funny because yesterday, right when WrestleMania started, this is absolutely being a prisoner of the moment, being there, E. I'm like, remember what I said about my excitement for WrestleMania? It was like only 7, 7.5. The moment we hear Dana White talking, because he did the intro video, I'm like, all right, man, I'm at a 10. So just going through all those emotions so far, WrestleMania Night 1, it's fine. It's okay. I am looking forward to it be much better than okay and fine tonight for WrestleMania Night 2.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys real quick. So if Cena wins tomorrow night, I'm going to take a closer look at AEW and their programming. I heard they put on some really good shows. And at the very least, I was talking to Brandon. I'm like, damn, you know, I don't have Sling TV to watch my wrestling. I need it on DVR. But, you know, Raw is on Netflix. It's covered. AEW is on Max. Covered. The only show that I can't watch is SmackDown. And that means Cena will be a SmackDown champion. So I can just go ahead and cut that Sling subscription and pause that bitch until he gets that, until he retires, and I'll be straight. So I'm looking forward to either, you know, Monday continuing to watch SmackDown, or B, to saving $45 a month, goddammit. So hey, I'm gonna be in good company either way. Rhodesia, I hope you say this show is a HO. Hey, listen, let me tell you this. Even if it's not, what's better? No, you know what the kids call it now? It's not just A plus, it's S tier. That show gonna be S tier either way.
S tier, nice. Okay.
S tier.
Yeah, I think night two is gonna be better than night one. Like I'm at a B for, I'm happy, I'm good. That's how highly I thought of that main event last night. And I think tonight trumps last night. In maybe every regard, we're getting surprises tonight. Match quality.
Street fight.
Yeah, a match quality is going to be.
Hey, Matt. Speaking of Trump, we're going to talk about the new MAGA powers, Roman
Please,
Reigns.
Let's not do that. Please, let's not do that.
And Hulk Hogan. We're going to talk about the new MAGA powers.
I right. put that up one time yesterday. I was ready to boo him.
He is a Democrat. All right, relax. No. Relax.
Hey, and then again, my man, the Ulafala.
Gave him a Ulafala. Okay, let's not do that. Because I'm about to work myself into a straight shoot.
On Raw on Monday, we're going to see the hand, right? We're going to see the hand, Hogan, Roman Reigns, you know what I'm saying?
Ah, I did see somebody call him the Tariff Chief, and I laughed.
The who chief? On that.
The Tariff Chief.
Oh.
God bless.
Oh, come on.
All right, y'all, we out of here. Thank y'all for listening. Like I said, we'll be back tonight or tomorrow. We'll drop it tomorrow. Night two, WrestleMania, Cena, Cody. This is what we're here for. I said on Friday Night SmackDown, they need to sell some tickets. I thought it was another strong segment. They're 2 out of 4, right? Like the first two, I thought were duds for the most part. Last two were good. We get the match tonight, and we get John Cena on Raw Monday night. So should be a really, really fun show, and I'm absolutely looking forward to the Triple Threat women's match even more now. I think they get more than 10 minutes to start the show tonight. And then, that's where we are. So we out of here. Y'all know where to find us already because you're listening or watching us right now on YouTube and your audio podcast platform. Shout out to everybody that we've seen out here. Like I said, we'll get into a little bit more of our deep dive next week on the podcast. But until tonight, when WrestleMania wraps, peace. We'll be right back.